Walker Kessler continues to amaze us, blow us away, and give us visions of grandeur. We'll talk about what his projections now look like after a monster night in Sacramento. It's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. Pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is the March 27th edition of Locked On Jazz. Walker Kessler, 31 points, 11 rebounds on 14 of 16 shooting. We'll break down how he did it against an all-NBA center in Domantas Sabonis and what it means for what we think Walker Kessler can become for the Utah Jazz in the upcoming years. The losses of the weekend, where does it leave the Jazz? The most common question I get from every Jazz fan is, I feel conflicted. Well, we'll try to explain where we stand and what's going on with that. Plus, look at Lauri Markkanen suddenly on the questionable list for the available tonight against the Phoenix Suns. What does that mean about what the Jazz are doing? And late game watch, Minnesota surprises Golden State. I have some thoughts on that. And Dallas falls to Charlotte twice in close games. I looked at both those, plus we'll do the lottery. It's all coming up. As I mentioned, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider, and this is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. We bring this to you every day, free and available on all podcasting apps, as well as on YouTube. Join the community, join the group, be a part of it by subscribing and following. And if you're on YouTube, please hit that bell that notifies you whenever we premiere or go live or whatever we do. Thanks so much for being a part of it. Today's show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Hopefully you're having fun with that. Today's episode, Prize Picks, first-time users can get 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So Walker Kessler goes for 31 and 11 the other night, 14 of 16 shooting against Domantas Sabonis. Now, it's a good matchup. Sacramento's 28th, I think it is, in the league in rim defense. They allow 70% shooting at the rim. If Sabonis has a weakness, that's it. He's not great defensively. But Sabonis is a big, physical, rugged all-NBA center. Like, I think the all-NBA, unless I'm missing someone, the NBA centers this year are Embiid, Jokic, and Sabonis. So for Walker to basically manhandle him at 31 and 11, pretty impressive. Now, how is he doing it? Frankly, he does not have a single field goal outside 6 feet, right? He's not suddenly popping for jumpers, hitting threes, scoring 31 where we go getting the ball. And maybe that's what's most impressive. He's getting 31 out of pure unadulterated effort, outrunning the defense, being available for the alley-oop, tip layups, offensive rebounds. The league is heading in a direction where rebounding is going to be the next two things. One I've talked about for a long time is secondary rim defense, and I'll talk about that a little bit in late game watch coming up, as well as looking at is going to be rebounding. Those are the two items I think that are going to be the kind of most talked about items in the NBA here for a little while. But let's walk through what Walker does. Like, opening play of the game, it's an alley-oop. Give that to Will Hardy. Then he gets a reverse layup. He's so crafty around the basket. That's where this guy really can score and be wildly efficient. The ability to finish both right-handed and left-handed, we've seen both. The ability to come around the backside, his little kind of patented not looking at the basket dunk shot. He misses a layup. He gets another alley-oop. That one was late first quarter. That was simply outrunning Sacramento. Outrunning, out effort. Tip in on an offensive rebound. He gets a nice cutting layup where he has a good read, and then they start to pound the pick and roll on the left side of the floor with him. He has a beautiful Euro step to the rack, outstretched right hand. He ends up with a little 3-foot hook shot at another point. He gets a cutting dunk. He's active. He's relentless. He's got great touch around the basket. He's not just doing it all on offensive rebounds and dunks, but certainly outrunning the defense is a huge part of what's allowing Walker Kessler to have this. And it's interesting that he can put up 31 before you try to integrate a 15-foot jump shot. And the question, I think, a little bit on when everyone's asking these questions about, like, when does Walker start to, you know, shoot outside? What I think most importantly that has been trying, that Will Hardy's been trying to avoid have happen, is that you suddenly lose all of this. Right? That this is where Will Hardy's made the comments that he's seen the three-point shot destroy more people than it's actually made in the NBA. And I think this is what he's talking about. You start integrating the three-point shot and opening up the jumper for Walker, which is what, you know, Talen Horton Tucker tells the story that they met like at the very first day, and Talen's like, hey, if we run pick and roll, would you rather roll or pop? He's like, I pop. That's what he said in September. He's not popping now. And so I do think this is where, when Will talks about the three-point shot destroying more people than it's actually helped, this is what we're talking about. Let's have Walker run the floor, get his layups, get his tip dunks, get his activity points early in these games and establish himself in that way in the NBA. And then as you start to integrate the other things, try not to lose him. I don't know. Like, I think as I try to project who I think Walker can be, The player that actually comes to me the most, and they're not, it's not a perfect comp because this is such a burly player, and Walker at this point is not of that, is Jonas Valanciunas. Valanciunas is 6'11", so not quite 7 feet like Walker. He's now 265. The beard makes him look bigger. You know, Walker's sitting here at 7'1", 245. So actually, not crazy to think that Walker could put on 20 pounds during his NBA career. Valanciunas was the fifth pick of the draft out of Lithuania. Would have gone earlier if he was going to come out early. His rookie year, he averages 9.6 rebounds. It's not, and he starts a lot. He is not a three-point shooter at all, more than one or two a game in his career, but he's become viable. He's 36%. He takes one or two a game. It's not his primary game. He's a beast inside. He's grabbing three or four offensive rebounds a game. He's been a 12-rebound guy most recently in New Orleans and Memphis. In Toronto, he was a 12-13-10-rebound guy with an occasional hook shot here and there. I think Walker will be a way better defensive player than Valanciunas. Valanciunas is actually not a good defensive player. The goal, I would say, defensively would be to be Brooke Lopez, but I don't think Walker's ever 282 pounds. Like, Brooke Lopez is just a mammoth man. The other thing is that Brooke Lopez, at four different times in his career, averaged 20 points a game. So he's somewhere in that ilk, I think, when you talk about centers in the NBA, of, you know, I think he's defensively can be, the numbers he's putting up, he's one of the elite defensive centers in the NBA. Right? Rudy Gobert, without much of any offense, in an offense was completely built around him, averaged 15 points, 14 rebounds a game, and was a three-time All-Star. I think Walker can start to do some of those defensive things. I do think Rudy is, like, the greatest defensive player we've seen in, like, since Dikembe. So I'm not sure I want to put Walker up there, but his numbers are pretty incredible, and he's having a massive impact on games. There's just no question about that. And then secondarily, from an offensive standpoint, I do think Valanciunas is a pretty good comp. I think he'll be better than Jakob Poeltl, who's kind of a rolling big, defensive big. I don't think he'll be the 20-point-a-game scorer that Brooke Lopez was, and I just don't think he's big enough to be defensively what Brooke Lopez is. But when I look at Walker, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an elite, elite defensive player with the offensive skills to put up 14, 15 points a game in a variety of manners. But I think the key to it is it has to be three or four offensive rebounds a game to really be dominant. Two weekend losses. Where does it leave us? We'll talk about that. Lauri Markkanen's back at questionable on the injured list as well, so that's kind of exciting for the Utah Jazz. But where are the Jazz, and what are we rooting for, and what are we in the perplexed situation that we're in right now as the Jazz get ready for the Phoenix Suns tonight? Today's edition of Locked On Jazz is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located at 4646, located out in Woods Cross, also in Logan. The Chevy lineup of trucks, the Colorado and the Silverado, simply nothing better than a Chevy truck, an Americana, and the Murdochs, 80-plus years in Utah, bringing it to you, making sure you have the no-regrets experience along the way. It's all at Murdoch Chevy. Two locations in Logan and the one right off the freeway in Woods Cross. The SUV lineup is absolutely outstanding. The Suburban and the Tahoe, you know those well. You've used them a lot if you have them right now, needing all that four-wheel drive action this year. But then the SUV lineup, super solid with the Blazer and the Trailblazer, along with the Equinox, the Trax, and the Volt, getting rave reviews for the electric car. It's all over at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and in Logan. If you're going to head over there, feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com, and we'll make sure that we take care of you and give you the Locked On Jazz VIP treatment that you deserve. Today's show is also brought to you by Prize Picks. 100% deposit match up to $100. Promo code Locked On for you. Prize Picks. It's simple, it's easy, it's fun, it's not complicated, which I guess is the same thing as simple and easy. It's daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 6 players. If they go on to score more or less than your Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 25% of your money on any entry. No competing against other people, it's just you versus projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you watch, any sport, including college basketball, including Euro basketball, including women's college basketball, including soccer, all there. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or left. It's that easy. Safe and fast and easy withdrawals. Currently operational in 30 states or more. So download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users, as I mentioned, 100% deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up at the instant deposit match up to $100. This weekend was a lesson for the Utah Jazz in what championships are. The Milwaukee Bucks came into Salt Lake City and just whooped the Jazz, like right out of the time. And what was really interesting was Mike Brown pregame on Saturday for the Sacramento Kings head coach. And he was saying, hey, I asked him, you know, some of their numbers in the first quarter weren't great. And he said, hey, you know, we just don't always come out. We got to understand that championship teams come out and they hit you first, second, and third. And I really thought we saw the difference. The Bucks, number one seed in the East, Kings number three seed in the West, you would think, like, well, those should be fairly close. They're not close at all. The Bucks, led by Giannis and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez, and Chris Middleton didn't play, but that veteran makeup of who they are, I mean, they just came out, whooped us on the opening moments of the game and really never relented. Like, that game was over early and often. Sacramento did the exact opposite. We're playing without Lowry, we're playing without Sexton, we're playing without Clarkson, and we're staying in that game. And if they had just missed a few shots, they won the game on corner threes. Their corner three shooting was fabulous. I think they were 5 of 5 on right corner threes, and I think they were 4 of 7 on left corner threes. I'll check it to make sure. And that's why they win. An unnatural shooting night for them against us on corner threes. Sacramento at home, even without De'Aaron Fox, as shorthanded as we are right now, they were combined 9 of 12 from. Exactly, I got it right, 5 of 5 and 4 of 7. There's no reason why they should possibly be in a situation where they have to go 9 of 12 on corner threes to beat the Utah Jazz, who are playing without Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, and Lowry Markin. That's just, they're not quite at that level, and that's what the Bucks showed the Jazz. Like, oh, and that's where Will Hardy comes in, like, oh, we almost had him. We didn't have him. Like, that game tipped off. The Bucks came out. They knew had a back-to-back the next night. They end up losing that back-to-back. But they came out just to whoop us. And it's also, I think, all because of Giannis. Like, I think Sabonis is a fabulous leader who's given Sacramento a great character, and he's their heart, he's their soul. But Kevin Huerter and De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, they don't know how to win yet. They haven't won yet. They're going to try to figure it out. They're going to get either the Warriors or the Suns in the first round of the playoffs. We'll see whether they can get out. Giannis, he's on a mission to go down as one of the 3 or 5, 6 greatest players in the history of the NBA. It's just a totally different level. So I think that was a really interesting juxtaposition for the Jazz to look at. Now, I've seen a lot of people come up to me recently and kind of make the comment that you know, hey, I don't really know how I feel as a Jazz fan. And the feeling I have right now on us is a little bit like it's too late to tank and we're too injured to make the play-in. And it's kind of unfortunate. Like, everyone's left us a window to still make the play-in, right? If you look at the standings, we've lost three in a row, yet we're still only a game out of the play-in. The Lakers lose yesterday. They just keep getting in their own way. Dallas, we'll talk about them more coming up in late game watch. They've lost four in a row. Portland's dropped out. The Pelicans have gotten hot and won four in a row. So we're a game behind Oklahoma City. We play Oklahoma City again for the season series. We're a game behind the Lakers. We play them twice, could win the season. the Thunder would be a tie the season series, I believe. Is that right? Did we lose all three to them? Or I thought we got one. That tells you my memory right there. I'll have to check that. As we look at this going forward, I'm checking my Oklahoma City note. We lost to them back-to-back and beat them the first time. I was right. Should trust myself. I don't do that very often, though. We play Oklahoma City one more time here. That's for the season. Tie the season series, and then the tiebreaker goes to divisional record from there. We got the Lakers two more times. Could tie or win the season series there. We actually still have a real chance to make the play-in. Like, it's a really viable possibility for us to still make the play-in, which would be an amazing experience, be great for us. Dallas has to continue to collapse the way they are, and they are collapsing. They've lost back-to-back to Charlotte, and they'll be a focus of our late-game watch coming up here. But without Sexton, who does say he's going to come back, without Clarkson, who seems to be less likely to come back as he's gone from questionable to out, and with Lowry trying to get that wrist back, Lowry put in a big-time workout the other day, and really, you could tell, was he is not hung it up. Like, we were wondering a little bit, I think, on all sports radio stations around and everything else, whether or not Lowry had kind of hung this baby up for the year, not because he wanted to hang it up, because it takes him five games to get the wrist ready, and then by the time he takes the five games to get the wrist ready, it takes him another four, you know, then there's only four games left. What are you doing? But he went through a hard workout before the game the other night in Sacramento. Ton of three-point shooting, a lot of full court running, a lot of cardio. So that's a guy that's still trying to put the effort out. On the tank end of things, or the drop in the standings, we're currently ninth. Washington, we're three losses, and you really look at this, like, three losses ahead of Indiana and Washington, who have at 42, they're all 30 in Portland, 33 and 42. I just can't see the scenario. Washington's lost 8 of 10. Bradley Beal didn't play. Indiana's lost 6 of 10. Portland's lost 8 of 10. I don't see the scenario at this point where we get into a better draft position than ninth. So it's almost as though it's too late to tank and we're too injured to make the play. It's kind of an unfortunate, on a brilliant season, it's kind of an unfortunate quandary to be in right now. But we'll see. Collins said he really, really wants to come back, and he believes he'll play again this year. JC's been with us on every road trip. Like, I thought that was important that Jordan was on the last road trip, still staying connected. Will's got these guys playing hard. I thought Sacramento was a really impressive performance by the Jazz. So you're still getting that all-out effort from the Jazz in each of these games. A few interesting notes on the Jazz right now. We have gone from, basically for most of the season, the number one team in the league at denying threes to, for the month of March, we're last in the league at denying threes. And I'm curious to find out. I mean, some of it's the zone, right? You're playing the zone. You decide to deny the rim. And, you know, frankly, the league right now is a deny-the-rim league. If you deny – people are more interested in denying the rim than denying the three. The rim is, you know, the rim you're shooting, I think 67% at the rim. Threes are 37%, 36.6, 66.6. So it's, the rim is still just a much better shot. But since March 1, we've become that team where we are the team that is last in, we're last in the league right now in denying threes. Now, in the meantime, with Walker Kessler as our center and playing more zone, we're the 11th best team at defending the rim. And then in regards to denying the rim, we've gone to third best team in the league at denying the rim in that time period. So we're only allowing 26.3% of our shots at the rim right now, which is so we've gone to allowing 26% of shots at the rim, which is a crazy, crazy low number. And 42% of our shots are now being allowed to be threes. Our shot location defense is sixth best in the NBA since we made kind of whatever this kind of philosophical changes. It's really, really, you know, that's important. I'm a super big believer in that stat. Like, over time, just force the other team to take inefficient shots. Prior to this, we were the second. Prior to March 1, we were second in the league in denying threes. We were 13th in the rim, and this is super interesting. We were also the sixth best location efficient effective field goal percentage defense. So we've just made this kind of big switch in what we're doing defensively. We've gone from allowing 34% of our shots at the rim to 26% of our shots at the rim. We've gone from allowing 33% of our shots as threes to 40-plus percent of the opponent's shots as threes. It's a really big change, philosophical change to what we're doing. I actually think the league's heading in that direction. It might not – I'm not sure it's bad, frankly. It's just different. And different often is great. It might actually be good. If you can really only allow 26% of the shots at the rim, that's allowing an above-the-break three is way better than allowing a shot at the rim. The only one I would say right now that I would guess if and I'm hopefully going to ask Will about this tonight in the presser. My guess is if I ask Will about it, the number he's going to say that they've got to get better at is – not only are they 30th in the league at allowing the three, they're 25th in the league at allowing the corner three. 11% of all shots right now against them are corner threes. That's probably higher than he's okay with. That would be my guess. Otherwise, I think he's all right. And teams are making an inordinate amount. They're making 48% of all corner threes against us in the month of March, which is a crazy number. Now, they may be really open, but that's an unusual number for us to have going on. All right, late game watch. What is going on in Dallas, and how did Minnesota beat Golden State last night, and does it mean anything in the big picture to Golden State's future as well? Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Cookie dough is back. That's right. Cookie dough strip is back. It's there for you with 160 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 8 grams of sugar, plus the brownie batter puff, the coconut marshmallow puff, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and the Crave bar. It is March Madness of Built Bar as well right now. Make sure you go and vote for your March Madness bracket. For the March Madness bracket is here. If you your favorite bar, your favorite puff, I'll be voting for I was going grasshopper cookie, but chocolate brownie puff. I have so many. When you go, make sure you enter into the drawing to be one of the lucky Locked On listeners. Get a free box of Built. 50 lucky winners. You got a good chance to do it. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win 12 months of subscription to Built to have the Built bars and puffs delivered monthly straightly to your door. You got to try Built, best protein bar ever. So go now to the Built Bar bracket at built.com and check it all out. BuiltMarchMadness.com is actually where to find it. There's a link off Built. But go to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now. Vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. That's BuiltMarchMadness.com. Late game watch is something I've been doing this year where I look at the I watch every kind of – or try to. I've been a little behind. Try to watch every close game in the final 7 minutes of every close game. So I watched both Dallas and Charlotte. Dallas loses two games to Charlotte this week with Kyrie and Luka. This is the number one story in the NBA right now. The Dallas gets both these games to within 2 points and should just simply win the game at that point. I mean, that's literally where we are. They should have won the game at this point. And they don't score a lot in these games. Like, so there's a real discussion about, like, if you want to start talking about Dallas last night. Their offensive ranking is a 105.1. That's really not good enough. The night before, it's a 110. So something is – what's so interesting is Dallas took the number one half-court offense in all of the NBA and added Kyrie Irving to it and got worse. Like, they were fixing a problem that didn't exist. If you go look at the teams that had success in the trade deadline, what New York, adding Josh Hart, find something that's wrong with your team and fix it. That actually seems to be a far better answer. Dallas just went for the big swing, and they may have destroyed their franchise. This is really, I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but this seems big. Here's what I noticed late, though. They're just awful defensively. I know they're not scoring at a great level, and frankly, Luka can just go score, and Kyrie can just go score, and they don't have a lot of flow, and they're not running a lot of action, and they don't really need to because Luka's that great. But if you look at them last night, Gordon Hayward just abuses Christian Wood for an and one. Then the next time down is a transition. Nobody stops him. Kyrie doesn't go out to close out on Gordon Hayward. He nails an open three. Sky Mihailuk, who's not a dramatic offensive driver, drives by Luka into the paint. Scoops a pass to Williams, who's fouled. They had their rookie Mark Williams out there, and he's getting the ball. They have no interior defense at all. They're playing Maxi Kleba as their center to close one night. They're playing Christian Wood, who's a terrible defensive player, another night. And these guys, and they have no perimeter defense, so they're just dry. They don't. Reggie Bullock's their only good defensive player on the floor, and he never got engaged in any play defensively. Washington spins on Luka. Hayward gets in the paint. P.J. Washington transition three. No one marks him in the corner. Mihailuk pump fakes Kyrie. Flies into the Netherlands. Goes into Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Driving the lane. Gives to Gordon, who scores over Luka. Dallas miscommunicates on a switch. Dennis Smith gets an alley-oop. Gordon drives and gets it to Williams for a layup. I mean, their defense late was just horrendous. And I thought the same thing in night one. Night one, they just really weren't even close. They got booed off the court in Dallas to start. They were down 10. They made the run. They got to two. And then they just didn't put up a lot of fight for the last 6 minutes of that game. So really interesting to me to see Dallas. And there'll be a lot of talk about their offense, which is right, because those offensive numbers are bad. But if you watch the final 5 or 6 minutes, horrific transition defense, lack of communication defensively, and then just lack of personnel defensively. Charlotte's just driving on him, passing it off to Mark Williams every time, who's at the rim with no one there to impede him at all. It's frankly just looks like a completely flawed roster to me at this point more than anything else. It's really incredible to see where they are and what's happened to them on that. Dallas and Golden State and Minnesota last night was really interesting. So the end result is Golden State has the game won. They're up by two with the ball with a 3-second differential or 4-second differential between the game clock and the shot clock. And Minnesota's flying around trying to bother them. And Draymond turns it over, throws a terrible pass, gets knocked away by Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson leaves it behind for Karl-Anthony Towns, who pulls for three in a one-point game. And amazingly, Karl-Anthony Towns hits it. Then Jordan Poole turns it over the next time. Few interesting notes here. Late in the game, back-to-back possessions where Jordan Poole does not get the ball to Klay Thompson or Steph Curry. Seems like really surprising to me. Rudy Gobert was not great, unfortunately. He's still overstretching offensively. Had a bad backdoor pass in the final few minutes. He had an offensive foul. We tried to Euro step into Draymond from 8 feet out. It was really too bad. He went to the free throw line to tie it with 27.7 left. He missed the first, made the second. He's 16 of 31, 50% at free throws in the clutch this year. So that was a bummer. He's not having the impact that you would hope he would have. The other one that were interesting last night is Kyle Anderson's really doing most of the playmaking for Minnesota. Mike Conley's playing off the ball. Conley's playing as like a shooting guard, spot-up, three-point shooter. They're playing Anderson, Conley, Edwards, Gobert, and then they had Reed in, who was their leading scorer last night, and then Towns closes and hits the big three. Warriors just aren't making plays. They had four straight plays to go tie the game in the middle, like they were down in the middle of these 5 minutes, and they just didn't convert. Minnesota had a really cool play they're running. So Anderson's at the point. They're running a horn set, which is a guy waiting at each side of the free throw line. They bounce pass to Anthony Edwards, who's on the if you're facing the basket, he's on the left side of that elbow of that free throw line. And then Kyle Anderson goes and picks at the other side of the free throw line to Karl-Anthony Towns, who pops back up for a three. Golden State doesn't want to switch because they don't want Steph caught on things, and they want to keep Draymond on Clay, on Cat, and so Anderson picks off Draymond. Steph doesn't switch out, and Cat hits the three. The next time they run the exact same play, Cat shows and goes. Pretty neat little stuff there, and in integrating Cat into the offense late there from Minnesota on Golden State. That's a game Golden State should have won. I don't want to overstate it, but they certainly should have won it. All right, let's wrap up our show with our lottery. The Jazz are currently at ninth with a 20.3% chance of a top four pick and a 4.5% chance of the number one pick. I don't think we'll be much different. Minnesota continues to win, so we've slid to 17th there. Philadelphia lost, so we're up to 27 there. So we'll have 17 and 27, but what will we have in the middle? Here is our today's simulation. The number one pick of the draft goes to the Orlando Magic. Wow, Victor Wembanyama and Paolo Banchero, back-to-back number one picks for Orlando, just like the Penny Shaq era. San Antonio gets number two. Charlotte gets three. Detroit drops three spots to four. Houston drops three spots to five. Portland goes to six, Indiana seven, Washington eight, Utah holds at nine, Dallas 10, Chicago 11, which goes to Orlando, Lakers 12, which goes to New Orleans, Oklahoma City 13, Toronto. So on this scenario, we hold ground. We would pick 9, 17, and 27. Jazz and the Phoenix Suns tonight. Since Devin Booker came back, they're just 9-8, 11th offensively and 15th defensively. They're obviously waiting for Kevin Durant. They're 3-0 when he plays. We'll see how tonight plays out. Jazz, game out of the play-in picture tonight would be a massive win if Lowry Markkanen plays. Be huge for the Jazz. If they could pull off a surprise win tonight at home, they're right back in to the playoff play-in race. Jazz and the Suns tonight. Ron Boone and I will be on the floor on Instagram at DLock09 at about 4:50. Have a good one.